Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I'd like to say this morning, Brother Cal's always reminding me of something and reminded y'all something too. When we have the Lord's Supper and everything, he always tells us to make sure that any confessed sin that you haven't confessed of, make sure you confess it before you go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Cal, I sure appreciate that. We saw Brother Billy at Mills the other day, and he reminded us again about that. And I had to bow my head and pray because I know I'm a sinner. And the Bible says we all sin and come short of the glory of God. He says he don't sin is a liar and the truth's not in him. So before I forget everything, I'd like to say I'm sorry for Brother Charles. We love you. And I've got a daughter named Lindsay. She's got cancer. I wish you'd pray for her. Anyone I forgot, I know it's a prayer request on the prayer sheet about people's got cancer, heart trouble, brain trouble, different things. I want to tell you that I love you, and I'll be praying for y'all, which I do every night anyway. Anybody's on their prayer list, I always remember them in prayer. But I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I want to thank the Lord for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, God. We just thank you for this wonderful week we've had. God, we just want to give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Because there's times and troubles and struggles in this life, if we didn't have you to depend on, I don't know what we'd do. God, I just ask you to be with us this morning, Lord, as we come before your presence. Lord, that your Holy Spirit be poured out upon us, God, in a way, Lord, like the day of Pentecost. Lord, that lives will be saved and people will be changed, Father. Just ask you to strengthen us. Lord, you go with us this morning. Lord, you just help Brother Cal. May the Holy Spirit talk to him and through your word. Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother Billy, Lord, as he teaches. And like he says, all the other teachers that we got in here, they're top class, and we just ask you to be with them too, Lord. We just ask you to be with this service, God. You just bless it. Bless everyone that's here. And God, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Andrew, and praise and worship team. God's perfect 10. I'm going to continue on in this sermon series that we're in, and we find ourselves with the second commandment this morning. I just want to say one thing. I so appreciate this great gift of this pulpit. Y'all gave this to Diana and I. I guess it's been 3 years ago, maybe four, but I had the privilege of preaching at the BCM Thursday night at their refuge service, and they didn't even have a pulpit over there. They had an old worn-out music stand, and I put my Bible on that stand, and not once but twice that thing turned over, and all my Bible and everything went out on the floor. And so I'm so thankful for this pulpit. Praise God. Amen. Podium, whatever you want to call this. So I want us to look at the second commandment. Before I read that scripture, I want to ask you this question. What is your concept of God? What kind of concept do you have, conception do you have of God? Some people don't have any concept whatsoever, and some people have a concept, but it's way too small. I've said this before. Our God is a great big God. If everyone on the planet bowed their knees and made a request of God all at the same time, you know our God's so big, He could hear every prayer and answer every prayer all at once. He is a great big God. And so your concept of God determines what your worship's going to look like. Amen? Now, last week we learned in the first commandment of who God is. This morning, we're going to learn of how we're supposed to worship this God. Title of the message is, He is Worthy of Our Worship. So, I know we've been up and down this morning, but could we honor God's Word? If you can stand, please stand to your feet as we honor God, the reading of God's Word. And if you can't, just humble your heart before God the best way you know how. Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But, I love the buts in the Bible. But, showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative word. This is the word of God. And God, help us to have the courage to say yes to what you want us to do today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want to give you three truths from the tenor and tone of this text this morning. And the first thing that jumps out at me is the second commandment, which is what we just read, prohibits something. It prohibits something. Did you catch that? He said, don't make for yourselves any graven image. Don't make for yourselves any graven image. And number two, really it's two prohibitions. He said, don't worship that image. Pretty self-explanatory. And so the question comes to my mind, what is a graven image? What is a carved image? Well, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they brought all these false gods, these idols, these carved images with them. And they had images of many different gods, the sun god, the moon god. They had a carved image to fish and frogs and snakes and dogs. I mean, if it was moving, and what they thought was, they had a carved image for it. I mean, even before you get out of the book of Exodus, you remember Moses? He's up on Mount Sinai. What are the children of Israel doing? They're making a graven image. They're making a golden calf and bowing down to worship that image. And so mankind has always had a tendency to make an image and worship that image. As a matter of fact, in the last days, the Bible says the Antichrist will present an image of himself in the temple and require everyone on the planet to worship him. And so today we continue to worship these images and these statues. Now, listen to this. There is a city, I'm not going to call the city, and there is a cathedral in that city up in the northern part of America. And there's this huge cathedral, and right outside the cathedral there's this big statue to Simon Peter. Or should I say, Saint Peter. And before worshipers enter the cathedral to worship God, you know what they do? They bow down to this statue and kiss St. Peter's feet. And they kiss his feet so much that one of the little toes on the statue is almost gone. How do you think God feels when his people worship other created beings rather than the Creator? How do you think that makes God feel when we worship creatures rather than the Creator? That'd be kind of like, ladies, let's just say this. I know this is a big, you know, I'm using my sanctified imagination. But ladies, that would be like going into a restaurant later this week and catching your husband in the restaurant kissing and hugging another woman. And you walk up to him and say, what in the world are you doing, before you knock him out, you know? And he turns around and says, oh, I'm sorry. I thought she was you. I mean, she looks just like you. And so really, honey, when I'm kissing her, I'm kissing you. Would that fly? No, not at all. But that's exactly the way God feels when we bow down and we worship created beings rather than the great creator God. You see, what an image of God really is a distortion of who God is. It's an image. It's hard to represent God with an image because he's so much larger and bigger than an image. Y'all with me? I mean, an image is limited, but God is unlimited. An image is temporary, but God's eternal. An image is local, but God is universal. And so worshiping an image that's been made, a representation of God, if you will, it brings God down to the level of dogs and fish and snakes and whatever carved image that you're bowing to. And so the creature, man, degrades and distorts God when he or she makes and worships graven images. And so the second commandment prohibits that. Y'all with me so far? Stay with me. There's some good stuff on the tail end of this message. And then number two, the second commandment protects something. Look at verse 5. The second commandment protects something. He says, verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Now, let me unpack that. Exodus 34:14 supports that truth and really says that God's name is jealous. But this is not our word for jealous. When I say the word jealous up in here, we think of the green-eyed monster, do we not? Well, that has nothing to do with the reason. God is, the word literally is zeal or passion. God zealously or passionately desires our worship of him and him alone. And he'll do whatever he's got to do to protect that. It's kind of like, you know, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I believe we did, that we're in a marital relationship. We're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We belong to him. He belongs to us. And so we're in this marriage relationship, and God's going to do whatever he's got to do to protect that relationship. He desires, he's passionate about our worship. And so for us to come in here, and by the way, worship happens not only here, but 24/7. It's how you live your life. And so God desires that very deeply. He's passionate about it. And it's kind of like Diana and I. She's my wife. I'm her husband. I'm hers and she's mine. Okay, we belong together. And now we'll fuss and fight and scrap like every other married couple, right? And we disagree about things. But I want to tell you what, if she runs off and leaves me, I'm going with her. Why? Because we belong together. I'm hers and she's mine. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here, but it's in that realm of relationship that we're in with God, and he's going to do whatever he needs to do. He wants your love, he wants your life, and he wants your loyalty, and anything that puts God above, and anything that puts God second is infidelity. Let me say that again. God desires your love, your life, your loyalty. And anytime we put someone or something ahead of him, it's infidelity. I don't care if we're talking about cars. Diana's family loves cars. I don't care if we're talking about cars, clothes, girls, houses. I don't care if we're talking about jobs, education, popularity, hunting, fishing, golf. Boy, it gets real quiet whenever I roll around to golf. Boating, ball games, sports, athletics. Whenever if that stuff gets to be more important, in other words, if you're giving your time and your talent and your treasure to those things, if that's more important to you in your life than who He is, then bless God, you've got a graven image and you've broken the second commandment. You see, we're all guilty of this, aren't we? Come on now, David's told us we need to confess our sins. And the Bible says we need to confess our sins one to another. So we're guilty, aren't we? And so God's going to do whatever He needs to do to protect that relationship and that fellowship. It's just like she and I. If I catch somebody hitting on her, or her hitting on somebody else, there's going to be trouble, right? And vice versa for me too. And so God protects this relationship that we're in, and He's going to do whatever we've got to do if we've got a graven image in our life that we're bowing down to. Here's the third thing. Y'all ready to move on? I promise you we're going to get to something really good at the end, so just hang with me. Second commandment also projects something. It prohibits something. It projects something. Rather, it protects something and it projects something. Now, watch this. Lean in. Listen to this. 5C. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now, the second commandment projects a visitation, if you will, of misery. The way you worship, the way I worship, projects some definite patterns that will follow you and your family. Still with me? You understand what I'm saying? Let me say that again. The way you worship, who you worship, projects some patterns in your life and in the life of your family. Before I say this, let me say this. We are all accountable for our own personal sin. I'm not accountable for your sin. You're not accountable for my sin. We're all going to stand before Jesus and give an account. That's why it's so important that you have Him. Because we're all sinners. And so we're accountable for our sins. But my sins can affect others. And your sin can affect other folks. So far, so good? All right, watch this now. Did you know that children pay an awful price for the sins of their parents? This has nothing to do with the children being accountable for their father's sins. What it does, what we're talking about here, is the consequences that they have to endure for their parents' sins. Drunkenness, drug addiction, any kind of addiction, really. Spousal abuse, greed, all kinds of things divide the family and leave a legacy of heartbreak for children to deal with the rest of their lives. The way you worship and who you worship will have an impact on your children and your grandchildren. Now, hallelujah, I've got time to go there. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles. If you've got a Bible, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. If you've got a phone with a Bible app, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And when you get there, say amen. Wow, that's fast, Billy Walker. He knows how to walk those pages of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 26. Now, I'm going to start here at verse 16. Remember I talked about patterns developing? Now, King Uzziah, who we're talking about here in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26. All right? And he was a good king. He was a good man. He ruled as king over Judah for 52 years. He became king when he was 16. He was a good guy, but look what happens to him here in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he had transgressed against the Lord his God. by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Whose responsibility was it to burn incense on the altar at the temple? Yeah, the priest. That's not what the kings were. Now, they could preach, but they were not to do the job of a priest and burn incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious. He got mad at church. Hello? Now, the church isn't in view yet, but you understand where, right? And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. And so Uzziah had a run-in with the preachers and wound up ruining his life. Now, I want you to look and see what happened to his son, Jotham. Jotham became king after King Uzziah. That's his son. Look at chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha. Oh, that's a good name, girls. Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right, say amen, in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Although he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but still the people acted corruptly. And so the father of this family got mad and left church, got furious, had a run-in with the priest, the preachers, and left the church. And then his son Jotham was a good man, but he quit going to church. He fell out of church completely. Didn't go to the temple. Y'all with me so far? I'm saying church here, but I'm trying to bridge that gap in application for us. Y'all with me so far? Okay, so you're seeing a pattern develop, right? All right, so now let's look at Uzziah's grandson, Jotham's son, Ahaz. Look at chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. He followed his father, Jotham, who followed Uzziah. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hemon. Who's supposed to burn incense? And burned his children in the fire. To the fire god, Molech. Throwing his boys and girls in the fire. According to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And verse 4, and he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills and under every green tree. And then jump down to verse 24. Ahaz is some kind of work, ain't he? So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Do you see the pattern? The father got mad and fell out of church. Excuse me. The father got mad and left church. The son fell out of church completely, and the grandson became a devil worshiper. Now, parents, here's the truth. Here's the applicational truth. If you do not show your children how important it is to worship the Lord your God, if you don't show them that that's primary and paramount, then you're probably going to have a child or a grandchild a lot like Ahaz. That's the pattern that develops. So the second commandment projects a visitation of misery at times. And by the way, let me just meddle just a little longer. What do your kids and your grandkids see you selling out to God, loving God with your whole heart, Do they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you worship God and Him only? Well, if you do, there's some good stuff. There's another pattern that develops. Are y'all ready for this? Four of you. You want me to just leave you bleeding the rest of the morning? Come on now. And so the second commandment also projects not only a visitation of misery for those who don't worship God like they should, but a demonstration of mercy. Ooh, I like this. I like this. Look at the latter. Well, I got to go back to my scripture. The second commandment says this in verse 6. Exodus 20, verse 6. But showing mercy, say mercy with me, to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. By the way, 1 John says the way that you know that you love him is by the way that you keep his commandments. That's worship. That's true worship. And so, here's what I've come here today to tell you. If you'll sell out to God, he will bless you. That's not prosperity preaching. That's just the undefiled word of God. If you will sell out to him, he will bless you. Now, what I'm about to say, I am not bragging on my family. I'm bragging on Jesus. But I think showing you my family tree and my family history will help. You'll see the pattern that's developing. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, because this is real stuff. This is true. My grandfather Smith, Granddaddy Smith, was a Baptist preacher for 60 years. Now, that ain't going to get you to heaven. But I'll tell you what my granddaddy did do. He taught my mama and her two sisters to love God with everything that they had. He taught them how to worship God. That's my grandfather Smith, okay? Granddaddy Smith, mama's daddy. And then on the other side, you got Grandmama Hampton, my daddy's mama. And for 50 years, she taught Sunday school at Temple Baptist Church. And she was the WMU president. That's Women Mission Union. That's Women on Mission, okay? 50 years. And she taught my dad what it means to love God and to worship God and Him alone. And then my mom and dad got hooked up, and guess what? They had 5 kids in 6 years. Dad was an only child. He said, I was never going to be lonely again, and he hadn't. He wasn't. But anyways, mom and dad taught me and my 4 sisters how to love God and how to worship God and to sell out to God in our home. That's what they taught us to do. And I'll never forget it, Don and Mike, when the children were all married off, you know, grown, through school, all of a sudden. Mom and Dad sold my dad's practice, his office, and their home. They sold just about everything that they had. And they went as foreign missionaries, international missionaries, as medical missionaries to Busan, South Korea. That's the other side of the globe for 7.5 years. And that showed me what real worship was all about. I said, God, is that what this deal's all about? Oh, yeah. And now Diana and I, well, we've raised 2 daughters. They're grown now. And we poured into them as to how to love God with everything that you've got and how to worship God and put Him first. And so we did that with them. And now they're raising, my grandkids are coming up. And I've gotten the privilege of baptizing my grandson and my first granddaughter. Now, the little red-headed granddaughter, she's coming to Jesus. She just doesn't know it yet. And Diana and I have this, we're blessed. We have this 16-year-old boy, this son. And two Sunday nights ago, he's 16. He led the Bible study for his youth group in my former church. I am not bragging on the Hampton family. I'm bragging on Jesus. And what I've come here today to tell you is if you'll sell out to God and you will worship Him each and every day of your life, and you'll teach others and pour into others and show them how to do that, God will bless you and your family. Don't you bring your kids up in here after they've been doing all kinds of other things out and expect them to follow God. No, that's our responsibility as parents and grandparents to teach them to love God, to sell out to God, to surrender to God. Whew. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? And here, let me say this, Colossians 1:15. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says that Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God, the exact representation of God. The only image, the only representation of God that we need is Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our worship. Let's pray together. Bow your head, please. Well, it's time to do business with the Lord. Every time the Word of God is read, it's taught, it's preached, there is a response on our end. And I would just imagine there's a lot of worshipers in here that need to put God back on the throne of their heart. He needs to be number one again. You've got some graven image, some carved image. Oh, maybe it's not a real thing you can tell, but maybe it's an idol. And it's gotten too important in your life. You need to come and ask God to bless. And sell out to Him. And surrender to Him. And then you'll start seeing God develop some good patterns in your life. And may I say this, you will never be able to worship the Lord like you can if you're not one of His children. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure about that, if you'd be willing to confess, like David's talking about, to turn from your sin and agree with God and tell Him, I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from You. But I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and He paid the price for all my sin. All of them. And as best I understand the Word of God this morning, I want to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus and receive Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm calling on You to save me today. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Now, Father, I ask for Your mercy. If you'll pray a prayer like that right there where you sit, God will become number one in your life. And He'll set up residence in your heart of hearts. And then you can worship Him. You can live for His glory. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to come and just share that with me. Just say, I got saved today. Or maybe it's prayer that you need. Our altars are always open during our response time. Father, whether someone's been born again today, or someone has been prayed to receive Christ, or maybe there's many others that need to return to You. The Bible is chock full, Father, of the command to return to You. To be revived. Oh God, would You flood these altars with God's people's prayers? Help us, God. We're in the last days. And it is time that the church gets right with You. And that we would worship You and You alone. Every single day of our life. I ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's all stand. The altar's open. If you need to come and pray, come on right now. If you prayed to receive Christ, just come on down front. We'll help you in your decision and your new walk.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.